Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study. We are back in our Father's Word, chapter 31, verse 1, the great book of Deuteronomy. In the Hebrew, the title, these are the words. These are the words you never want to forget. Our Father has been very fair in these last three or four chapters, laying out either life or death, your choice, either blessings or cursings, your choice. And in doing so, even giving you word for word information on how to receive blessings or to refuse his word and receive cursings. It doesn't get any fairer than that. But Moses is coming near the end of his ministry. We're going to have this chapter 31. And we'll probably do it in this lecture. Don't miss the next chapter. It's the Song of Moses. It's the song that, as it is written in the 15th chapter of Revelation, that those that are going to heaven will be singing. It is knowledge that they have absorbed, that they know, that they understand. So you don't want to miss that. All the way back here in this book of Deuteronomy, that's right, in the Pentateuch, it tells you how and when, not necessarily when, but what will be going down at that time. Precious scripture. And chapter 31, verse 1, a word of wisdom from our Father, and Moses continues. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel, verse 2, and he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. In other words, they were there at the head of the Dead Sea, ready to cross Jordan. And Father's already told him, you're not going. He will ultimately take him up on Mount Nebo and show him the land. But it's interesting that you note 120 years old. That was his birthday. His life was divided up into three sets of 40. The first 40, naturally, much happened to him in with Pharaoh, and raised by Pharaoh, but at 40 driven into the wilderness, at 80 coming back to free Israel, to lead his people out of captivity. And then here he is at 120. Three sets of 40 meaning probation, 40 being probation. And here he stands, and he tells them, but he will appoint a leader. If you would believe that, you'd probably be mistaken. Moses didn't appoint the leader. God did. Okay. Verse 3. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee as the Lord hath said. In other words, it was Father's orders. Now, Joshua, do you understand what Joshua would be in the English? Jesus. So you have a type here of he that will take the children into the promised land. Just as during the millennium, the Lord Jesus Christ will take us into the promised land. So we see the prophecy. We see God's hand. But the important thing is, when you have God with you, you've got the victory always. And that is so important. When you have God with you, you've got his blessings if you're obeying him and doing what it is he has instructed you to do. Verse 4. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. In other words, he had already conquered here at the head of Jordan, and had given these particular lands that Og and the other Sihon had owned, given them to two tribes and a half tribe of Manasseh on the east side of Jordan. God did it. No piece of cake. No problem. When God is with you. Verse 5, and the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. In other words, you follow it letter by letter. You know, this is why it's so important for you even today to be in good standing with the Father. Trouble times, we've got them. We'll have more trouble, but trouble is here. But if you have God with you, and if you're pleasing to Him, you don't have those bad of shakes. Father will take care of you. That is to say, your blessings will come, even when people are cursed right beside you. You can cut it. Why? God chose you. You're a can-do type person. Verse 6, listen carefully. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. That holds true even to this day. The Lord God promises even in the New Testament, in the great book of Hebrews, last chapter, I will never leave thee, I will never forsake thee. That holds true to this day. That's why it's important that you keep the blessings, keeping these words of advice that we will be singing even as we enter into the millennium in the next chapter, the Song of Moses. Verse 7, and Moses called unto Joshua, and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel, pass this wand, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. You're going to lead them right in there. And of course, here you have the leader chosen by God. Joshua has already proved himself, but before the 40 years even started in the wilderness. Verse 8. And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. You know something? Many people, when they become depressed, there's no excuse for it. I don't care how rough somebody may treat you. Christ is, and our Father and the Son are always with you. All you have to do is turn to them and draw your strength. Be of good courage and know He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Well, what does that mean? You are never alone. He's always with you, watching over and bringing those blessings. That doesn't mean that it'll be a rose garden for you. He knows you can take care of the tough stuff, and what you can't take care of, He'll pick up the slack for you. You can believe that. It is true. Verse 9. And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. In other words, he wrote the Pentateuch. And put the law down whereby the priest would be able to deliver it to the people. Verse 10, and Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, what are you going to do every 7 years at the Feast of Tabernacles? Verse 11, when all Israel is come together to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, God will choose it, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. And so it is that, you know, the people didn't have Bibles at that time. So the law was read to them at the Feast of Tabernacles. And at Passover, the Hallelujah Psalms were read to them, repeated to them. And that way, and for hour after hour, much teaching, that way the Word of God was instilled in the minds of the people, whereby they could receive the blessings and the love of Almighty God and know that He was with them. Verse 12, how do you do it? Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn. To hear and to learn. Got it? In fear, that's to revere, to love the Lord your God, and observe, do what? Observe to do all the words of this law. In other words, you're going to teach them. You're going to teach them every word of it and instruct them chapter by chapter, verse by verse. It just so happens the word was not divided at that time in the scrolls, chapter and verse, but it was, as we see it today, one word, the word of God. And it was delivered, and you taught it chapter by chapter, scroll by scroll. The priest, as they were able to handle the scripture and to deliver the message to the children. At the hand of Moses, the author directed and guided by Almighty God to bring forth the law, the statutes, that's the rituals that many of them replaced at this time with the blood of Christ, and the judgments, which is to say reward and punishment for things you do right or wrong. That's what judgment is. It's a twofold thing within itself. You get what you got coming to you, in other words. So that's why Israel was blessed of God. Those tribes that were migrating, because they worship God. And that word right with them. Continuing with verse 13. And that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear or to revere the Lord your God as long as you live in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. That's over Jordan, over the Atlantic, over the Pacific. Wherever you go in this world, the migrations that would become as numerous as the stars of heaven and the sands of the sea, that you would have this word and God would always be with you. Verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thy days approach that thou must die. Call Joshua and present yourself in the tabernacle of the congregation that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, making it official. Well, how is it made official? Well, and first of all, God is doing it. But it's also done with witnesses from the congregation that the event is transpiring, and there will be witness that God is there. 15. And the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of a cloud. And the pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. No man could see the dimension in which our Father is in. That's why the Son came in the flesh, whereby we could see Emmanuel, God with us. But this was to document He was there. It was this pillar and cloud that protected them in the wilderness even. But the presence of God and Joshua and Moses in the congregation of the people. 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me, and break my covenant, which I have made with them. Well, thank goodness that didn't happen here in America. We got a church on every corner. Well, now, let me ask you something. How sharp are you? God said, they're going to do it. God usually always knows beforehand. When some person, in transcribing the book of Acts, copied Pathol and changed it, changed the word of God from Pathol, which is Passover. You've already been told what you will do at Feast of Tabernacles and at Passover. But they changed the word Passover in the Greek to Ishtar, Do you know who Ishtar was? She was a sexual goddess, a heathen goddess. Forest loving, egg rolling, quick like a bunny hop, spring festival. Sound familiar? You know that we would let things, heathenism, slip into houses supposedly appointed by God and expect God to bless? When people would pay no more attention than that to allow someone to change one word and induct into Christianity a whole new set of heathenistic, in the beginning, spring orgy. Because it, after all, it was only about 14 days difference between Ishtar and Passover. Why not bring them all together, the priest said, and it'll increase our congregation. Never increase your congregation by heathenism. Convert the heathen, that's a non-believer, into believing, but don't change church policy, the word of God, these words, whereby it accommodates enlarging the congregation by accepting heathenism into the church itself. Now, God knew it would happen. That's why it's written. That's why he just spoke those words to Moses. 17. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them. And they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? I wonder why he would be ashamed to be. Why would he show up and answer a prayer when heathenistic practices have moved in the place he appointed? Well, I've wondered why our church wasn't blessed, and it seems the congregation keeps getting smaller and smaller. Why don't you teach God's word? People are drawn to it. You'll never be hard up for students if you teach God's word chapter by chapter and verse by verse and let the chips fall wherever they may. You know why? Because you'll also have the blessings of God, where you don't have to beg people for monies, spending half your time as a beggar. But teaching chapter by chapter and verse by verse where the people are blessed and receive blessings rather than cursings. Verse 18. And I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they shall have wrought in that they are turned unto other gods. Verse 19. Now therefore, write ye this song for you. It's the song of Moses. It's so very important. And teach it the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. In other words, they sing this song, they'll know better and they'll straighten up and they'll be on their way to heaven. The song of Moses is the very next chapter. You know, Many students have even memorized it. You don't have to do that, but you better know the flow. Verse 20. For when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers that floweth with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxen fat, good time Charlies, then will they turn unto other gods and serve them and provoke me and break my covenant. You know, God considers his contract with you very important. Don't break it. 21. And it shall come to pass, not maybe, it shall come to pass when many evils and troubles are befallen them. And this song shall testify against them as a witness, for it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed. For I know their imagination, which they go about, their thinking process, thought process. Even now, before I have brought them into the land which I swear, and even today to this land, as troubles and unemployment and other things come down, not only in America, but the world. Well, I wonder what's happening. Read the word. 22. Moses, therefore, wrote this song the same day and taught it the children of Israel. 23. And he gave Joshua the song of Nun a charge, the son of Nun a charge, and said, be strong and be of good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. God would. God would stick with Joshua. 24. And it came to pass, when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book, until they were finished, that's the Pentateuch, 25, that Moses commanded the Levites that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, saying, 26, take this book of the law and put it in the side of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. Now, I want to tell you something, how important this is. You will have many so-called Bible thumpers that will say, brother, you don't understand, the law was done away with. You see, they don't know the difference between the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments. And when God did away with certain of the statutes, nailed them to the cross with Christ, they think that changed the law. It's still against the law, God's law, to steal. The commandments are still ever so much in effect. That's why so many people can end up in trouble, ruined, because they listen to Bible thumpers instead of reading God's word chapter by chapter and verse by verse to learn for themselves. God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. You can be strong. You can be of good courage. Unless you start chasing after false doctrines, traditions of men that make void the word of God, and then God will turn his back on you. But who left? Who? You left God. He did not leave you. God will never leave you nor forsake you, but many people leave him and wonder what happened, because they're ignorant, biblically illiterate, as to God's word and how important it is to our Father that loyalty to the covenant be maintained. 27. For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against the Lord, and how much more after my death. I know when I went up Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments, when I came back down, you were having an orgy, had molded a golden calf. Even Aaron himself, the head of the priest, participating therein. I know how rebellious you are. In other words, it wasn't difficult for Moses to believe God's word of what they would do if you gave them that opportunity. They had already done it before. 28. Gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears and call heaven and earth to record against them. I'm going to teach you a song, is what he's about to say. And this is a song that the book of Revelation demands that you know and understand. And how precious it is that Moses, the one whom God gave the words to this song, which is ever so meaning, that will keep you on the straight and narrow, that lets you know the heart of God, his love, his compassion for his children, and the fact that nobody cons him, because God knew a long time before the fact pretty well what would go on in this world. 29. For I know that after my death you will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you. And evil will befall you in the latter days. We're in those latter days, beloved. Because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands.
Well, let's just build a church here of God and we'll just call it the Laughing Church. Or let's build a church over here and we'll call it the Church of the Unknown, like they did on Mars Hill. We don't understand everything. Let's just celebrate.
You know, if it is God's commandments and his word, chapter by chapter and verse by verse, that brings about the logistics and the method in which you're blessed from God, why would you want to go with a bunch of malarkey that some individual might dream up when you've got the real thing, the Word of God? You see, these words are a lot more important to man than many might think. Because you see, Christ was with God. And as it is written in 1 John, the Word became flesh and walked among us. It's his Word. It's your Father's Word. He that created your very soul, that knows how your body functions, how you think, what's good for you, and the fact that he is the endower of all blessings. He gives them. He owns everything. And he punishes in judgment those that deserve punishment, and gifts and rewards to those that deserve rewards in blessings. So, you see, the choice is always yours. You are responsible for your actions. He sent you the letter. It's written to you, whether you like to admit it or not. This word is written to you. A letter from Almighty God, telling you how to be happy, instructing you as to how to be blessed, how to even share and teach others with that truth. Have you read it? Many times when Jesus walked the earth, the living Word, they would ask him a question. He knew where the answer was, right here in the Old Testament, which that was the Bible of that day. The New Testament wasn't written yet. And he would say, haven't you read? It's been before you all the time. Haven't you read it? And then he would answer the question, quoting the Scripture. So learn from the Scripture. It's a wonderful process to be blessed of God, to please him, to love him as what he wants from you is your love. And in that comes his blessings, not only to you, but even those around you that see those blessings transpire. Verse 30 to complete the chapter. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. And that's where we'll pick it up in the next lecture. The song that, again, I will document that you must know before even that before you're going to enter heaven on your way there. You're not going to have it on the screen. Revelation chapter 15, when this is on the way, okay? And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, got the victory, got it? And over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God. And the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints, or thy King of nations. How precious it is to be pleasing to Almighty God. So, You want to know how to overcome the mark of the beast? You want to know how to make it all the way? Don't miss the next lecture when we cover this song of Moses. It's very complete, very uplifting. It is the Word of God. Don't miss it. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, you share it. Won't you do that? And please, as this next week will be a documentary week, we'll pick up this Song of Moses the following week. Don't miss it. It's ever so very important as we complete this great book of Deuteronomy. Now, those of you that do listen, if you have a question, please share it. Never ask a question about a reverend or a denomination or a church organization. We don't judge people. You know why? Because we've got a judge. It's our Father. Boy, he judges pretty tough. But tough means if you deserve blessings, you're going to get it. If you deserve correction, you're going to get it. Because God is always fair and honest. He even knows what you're thinking. Those of you that listen by shortwave, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. And your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Always a pleasure. Now, got a prayer request? We can do away with the number and the address. Why? God knows what you're thinking right now. You can believe that and practice it. Let him know that you love him. That's what he wants from you. And follow his word. Follow his commandments as best you can. And ask for knowledge and wisdom if you need it. He's always there to help you when you need help. But you have to do your part. Okay, that's important. You got to make a try at it. A doer, in other words. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, and question time. We're going to go with Wade from Georgia. And you're welcome. Thank you. I am wondering if the Dead Sea Scrolls were inspired by God. I watch your program every morning at 6 a.m. Well, we're glad to have you with us. Part of them are, and part of them, you know, there were many copyists and there are fragments and so forth. But to say every bit of it was inspired of God, I could not say that. But some of it was. The thing is, you have to decide which is which. Cindy from New Hampshire. My mom passed away 4 years ago, and I cry so much because I miss her. And the fun we had together doing simple things like watching TV and grocery shopping or going for rides. She was my best friend even after I married. And now, you know, do you ever stop and think that she's with the Father? And she's in such a precious, wonderful place. I can say that because if she had that much compassion for you to take care of you, to encourage you, she was one of God's own. Can't you be happy for her? You know, I know you're feeling sorry for yourself, and that's understandable. But it's time for you to start rejoicing for her that she's with the Father and being blessed, and probably even puts in a good word for you occasionally. So look up and know that As it is written in the great book of Ezekiel in the millennium chapters, you're going to see her again. In chapter 44, verse 20, it declares, and that's precious. So rejoice for her that she's with the Father, for to be absent from this body is present with him. And let her know you love her and miss her, but you're happy for her being where she is. Willie from Illinois. My name is Willie. I have this question. In 1 John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Let me correct this writing. It's the first chapter of St. John. Okay, the first verse. Verse 1, chapter 1, St. John. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And nothing was made without God, so my question is, did God make evil too? No. Man had no problem in creating that himself, Satan and so forth, in the first earth age. But as it is written in one place in Isaiah and mistranslated, God will create tumult. That's trouble for somebody that deserves it, but not evil. The word is mistranslated. Nowhere does God create evil. Man has a way of doing that himself. A lot of people like to blame it all on the devil. Don't try to go there. Man is evil sometimes himself. Richard from Texas. When we command an evil spirit to go back where he came from, where did they come from? Well, they're with Satan. Most of them are. As you can read in Revelation chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, when Michael kicks Satan and his angels out of heaven, their spirits only, at this moment, are allowed to traverse the earth. Not physically, but their spirits can. They're called evil spirits. And they go back where they came from. Richard, same person. Are the fallen angels being held in the bottomless pit till Michael kicks them out? No. They're right there with their... Michael is holding them in heaven. You can read it in, I believe it's chapter 12, verse 7. It will tell you that Michael throws out the dragon, which is Satan, and his angels. Kicks them all out. That's where they're being held. But they have no way to overcome, because they've already been sentenced as a group. And they deserved it, naturally. Why? Because our Father's fair. Mary from Minnesota. In this generation, are the churches of Smyrna and Philadelphia two different churches? I am wondering if they have different destinies. I wonder this because the church of Smyrna seems to go through tribulation, and Philadelphia seems to be given the strength to stand before the Antichrist. So does Smyrna. They're going to have trial and tribulation 10 days. That means delivered up before the Antichrist for 10 days. Because why? What's important, both of them? In other words, in God's Word, you always have two witnesses so that you can believe. God gives you two witnesses out of seven churches. And you better well know what those two churches had, because they pleased God, the others didn't. And if you want to please God, you'll know what Smyrna and Philadelphia taught. What did they teach? Who the Kenites were. That claim to be of our brother Judah and are the synagogue of Satan. That way you know who the Antichrist appears to, and you will not be deceived. That's important. Does your church teach that? If it doesn't, you're probably in a heap of hurt. Karen from Texas. Where in the scripture does it say about fly away? Ezekiel chapter 13, verses, start reading about 19 through 20. God says, I am against those that teach my children to fly to save their souls. He doesn't like it. Why? He wants them to stand against the Antichrist, as it's written in Mark 13, New Testament. Joy from Mississippi. Concerning tithe, I own a small business. I don't receive a paycheck. My question is, do I owe my tithe on the gross income of my business or the net income after my normal business expenses? Naturally, after your business expenses. Let's say let's say you're an apple salesman and you have a wagon load of apples. If some preacher comes along and tells you, you need to give me all your apples, and you tithe on all of it, it puts you out of business. Because you got no apples to peddle. The preacher took them all. So you only tithe on your profit after business expenses are paid. Your business expenses you didn't clear. Okay, it's not your money. It's your business's money. In other words, you can't stay in business and rob the business for a church. Don't do that. Jimmy from Texas. My question is, I have a longtime friend since we were going young girls, but she has a lot of different beliefs. I believe the Bible all the way through, and she doesn't. Am I going against God to keep being friends with her? She has been so good to me in many ways, but so I heard you say it's not to not argue. But, well, you don't have to argue Bible. You can discuss, or if she's a good friend, don't turn your back on her. You make plant a good seed there occasionally. We don't have to run from non-believers. But and it's if she's been a good friend and been good to you, that's good. God has a purpose in it. Okay, so it'll be fine, and just make sure she doesn't pull you away from the Word of God as you believe. Vanessa from Michigan. Thanks for breaking down God's Word so I can understand it. Pastor Murray, I send my tithe and offerings to different churches and often wonder, does it matter? I heard you say that you should tithe where you are being taught the Word. Did I hear this you correctly? And if so, here's my tithe. I've been watching you for the last 4 months, and I love and understand your teaching. Thank you. Naturally, where you are actually taught the Word of God, that's where you tithe that. It goes to Father's work. It's okay to give a love offering to someone else if you feel led to. And it's even okay to split tithes. But the main thing is, you want to remember, why would you tithe where you're taught? Because if no one tithed to that work, it would cease, and you wouldn't be taught. So it's just common sense. Got it? Roy and Linda from Arkansas. My grandson, Jacob, age 12, has a question. Since everybody is different here on earth, will heaven be different for everybody according to their personalities? We've been studying with you for 5 years, and he watches with us. Well, bless his heart after school. That's great. Naturally, God created us all different. We got different DNA, and because he wanted us that way, and so it is. So let the gentleman know, the little man know, that he's going to be just like he is there, loving and understanding and loving our Father. But our Father gives us many things, and people are unique. They are different, and we are made in the exact perfect image we were from before. And in the new spiritual body, the soul never changes, which is our thought process, our spirit. That's your own. It's unique, and that's why God made us that way. Margaret from Texas. Question. A while ago, you read a letter from a lady concerning evil spirits. Did I hear correctly that there is a difference between demons and evil spirits? And are they one and the same? Also, can you explain about anointing the doors to keep evil spirits from entering? I have done it, but I want to make sure I'm doing it right. Okay, Margaret. No, demon. The word demon, what you heard me say, is not necessarily in the manuscripts. In the manuscripts, they are called evil spirits Or, in the Old Testament, sometimes familiar spirits. Not familiar good, familiar bad. Okay. But they are, for every negative, there is a positive. We have the Holy Spirit, which blesses. And we have evil spirits that if you allow. But God gave us power over them. As it is written in Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Over all of our enemies. And therefore, you send those evil spirits back where they came from in the power and the name of Jesus Christ. And they have to leave. We have power over them. And you did right simply by using the oil of our people in Christ's name, order them away. David and Linda, question. Jude verse 14 concerning Enoch prophesying. Is this written in the Old Testament? Well, it is written in what? Chapter 5 in the Old Testament that Enoch walked with God and God took him. Why? Because Enoch was present when the fallen angels were seducing the daughters of Adam. And he preached against it. You might say, well, how can you document? Well, the first verses of Jude. The angels that are constrained for destruction. That their sin is they left their place of habitation, which is heaven. Rather than being born to a woman, they left heaven and came to earth to seduce them. And Enoch, that great preacher, he preached against it. I mean, he came right out right there, and God was so pleased with him that he would stand in the very face of the enemy themselves. That God simply transfigured him. He was too good for this world, in other words. Alan from Washington. The moon has so much connection of Satan. Do you think it will still be around in the eternity? And do you think it was circling the earth in the first earth age? Thank you. Absolutely. Never. God created the great lights. Okay, you can read that in Genesis chapter 1. And placed them there even after the firmament fell. But they will still be there. Don't give Satan credit for anything. That's just not going to happen. The moon is not bad. It is its effect with Satan's influence that caused people to be bad. Rather than getting rid of the moon, we're going to get rid of Satan and the evil people, as it's written in Revelation chapter 20. Richard from Kentucky, I love your program. Question, I once heard you speak of count or enumerating stones in connection with the Kenites, counting smooth stones like counting the number of the beast. Could you please explain that for me again? Well, you have to go into the Greek a little bit. When you read Revelation chapter 13, verse 18, it tells you, here is the number of a man. It is the number of the beast. And his number is 666. But the word count, as it's utilized in that 18th verse, means to count by enumerating stones worn smooth over a long period of time. Meaning, casting lots and knowing who you are. And the same word in the Greek is utilized in Revelation chapter 2, verse 17, where it says, I will give you a new name and a white stone. It's the same word, so that you can count and know who the Kenites are, who their father is, and how to defeat them, how to know and understand 666. Six seal, six trump, six vial. That's when the Antichrist comes. That's when we go to battle, spiritually speaking. Okay? That is the destiny of many Christians that are God's elect. And they look forward to that day. I feel it's not all that far off. It goes down exactly as it's written in Mark chapter 13. Okay, Renee from Missouri. I have two questions. Number one, Are women supposed to wear head coverings 24/7? Not at all. It is a misconception by illiterate people to teach that a woman should keep her hair covered all the time. And it comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 10. Paul lets you know why you should keep your head covered, but not with a cloth, but with Christ and Christ's truth. You keep your head covered so that the fallen angels, when they return, cannot seduce you. Paul makes it very clear. He says, you keep your head covered because of the angels. And because Jesus makes it very clear in Matthew 24, he said, it's going to be, at the end, it's going to be just like it was in the days of Noah. They're going to be giving and taking in marriage again, meaning the fallen angels, with the daughters of Adam. But not with God's elect, not those daughters, because they're going to be witnessing against him. Number two, does God match up people? I feel so. I have been married 39 years, first time for both. Well, congratulations. You made a good choice, certainly. My name is John, and I'm just writing to see if you can explain Revelation 20, verses 10, about the devil was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. Those are simply roles of Satan, okay? Same man, but those roles are stripped from him. He can't be the Antichrist anymore. God's not going to allow that. It says there will be, this is after the millennium, okay? Make that clear. It says they will be tormented forever and ever. I thought that all sinners, including the devil, would turn into ashes. And you're right. But when you turn into ashes, how long are you punished for? Because you are ashes forever and ever and ever. Ashes don't come back. They're gone. Fini. Okay, and end of story. A lot of people think, well, I got to hear them cry and scream and yell. I want to hear them suffer in that fire. I don't. You know, what kind of person teaches, here we are in heaven. Boy, right over here, we got something you need to see. We got thousands of people just frying like a chunk of bacon. Woo! In there and screaming, and it's a delight to see them suffer. I don't call that heaven. God says he will blot them out. They're gone forever and ever. There's no tears in heaven. You can read it in Revelation 21, verses 4, 5, and 6. God wipes all the tears away. No suffering, no pain, no more drugs. That's the pharmacia. Wizards, that's what the word wizard means, druggies. No more. It's all happiness. Tom from Georgia, when will you be teaching the book of Revelation? This is four times I have asked. When the Lord leads, it will be coming up. Probably, it'll probably be, I don't know, another year. But sometimes we play Revelation occasionally, because we broadcast several hours a day, you might check it out. But we'll be teaching it. But we have it also on cassette if you're in a hurry to get it. Joe from Georgia. My brother won't speak to me or call me because I got on him about drinking. What should I do? He is hard-headed, and I have done nothing wrong. Well, just keep setting a good example. Don't try to, you know, until he's ready to quit himself, there's nothing you can do about it. He's got to want to quit himself. And if you stay on his case, all it's going to do until he's ready, it's going to irritate him. So don't talk about it with him, but set the good example of being successful and blessed. And pretty soon he's going to say, brother, I need some advice. And he'll talk to you. Just That's all you can do at times, unfortunately. Harold from North Carolina, if you feel compelled that you need to do more, let me think what the name of the group is. Al-Anon. Look in your yellow pages for Al-Anon meeting. That's to say relatives to someone drinking too much. They kind of help you help, okay? See what they have to say. Good outfit. Harold from North Carolina. I'm wondering if in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1 through 10, it means this. It says that Christ was the Word and the Word was with God. So does that mean Christ is God? Thank you. Strange, but we have this scripture come up two times today. Emmanuel, God with us. That's exactly what it means. And I am out of time. Hey, you know what? I love you all because you enjoy studying God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. But most of all, God loves you for it. It's the letter He sent to you because He loves you. And He wants to bless you. So let Him know you love Him in return, won't you? You bless God, He will always bless you. It's very important. We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Won't you do that? Again, blessing God, He's always going to bless you. Let Him know you love Him. Won't you do that? Most important, though, you listen to me. Listen good. You stay in His Word every day. In His Word is a good day, even with trouble. Do you know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, He is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word.